You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bibles, please. Galatians in chapter 2. I always give you a homework assignment, and tonight, and the purpose is that you'll have to read all six chapters every week. And my daughter Tabitha said, "Dad, you already gave us that word, so I think I'm going to give you another word." She's smart. I don't keep track of what I've given you. It's written in my Bible here. I've asked you to look for the word gospel. And she was sweet about it. She's always sweet. But I obey her more than I obey my wife, I'll tell you that. But gospel is 12 times. Did you find it? And then we saw the word law 31 times. You have that in your notes and you're marking your Bible. And that was the problem with this church at Galatia, and it's in Turkey. The problem was that they were adding works and law to salvation. And we're going to find again tonight, chapter 2 is another chapter that is really just authenticating who Paul was as God's man. Because he's going to get to chapter 3 and he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." You know, he's talking about how that I got saved and God called me and all these wonderful things. But then he's going to unload the truck in about another week. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" He said, I told you in chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you so soon removed. I marvel that you have perverted the gospel, which is not another gospel. I'm just shocked at you. But then he comes back and is kind to them because he is going to let them have it. He's going to say to them, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He said, "There was a time you would have plucked your eyes out for me. But you right now, you're following a whole new wave of doctrine." And so he deals with this, and they're going to, like the church at Colossae, they were merging, we saw in January, in February, March, April, May, how that they merged false gods and false deities with the real God. And Jerry right there, Jerry just celebrated 1 year in our church. You lived not at Colossae, but right near Colossae, is that right, in Turkey, and worked there for a long season. And everything I told you about Colossae, he said, that's exactly what happened. And he knows that. So if you want to know more about this area and this region, Turkey is going to have a large part in Turkey and Iraq and Iran in the last days after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture. And the rivers will drive up, the Euphrates that flows right through it. And that's why the Black Sea is so important to Mr. Putin. By the way, when I say that, I always think of Brother Sloan, because he's taught me so much about the Black Sea. He's over at the other property with the Spanish ministry tonight. All the kids, sixth grade and below, are out of here. So it's just us in here tonight. And I just thrown that in. I want you to be in prayer for them. But Mr. Putin wants that Black Sea because that's the travel down to Israel. And the north, Ezekiel 38 and 39, the north, which is Russia, is going to come through that region and come and invade Israel, the Bible says, in those last days. The Euphrates will have to dry up because 200 million soldiers from China are going to come in and invade Israel as well. And here's the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking about this church that has corrupted themselves. And they've corrupted themselves. It's either all of grace or all of law. It's all of God's mercy, or it's all of works. And he's going to show us that in chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 especially. And so we look for the word law. I'll give you a homework assignment. We look for the word faith 22 times. We look for the word preach or preached. Preach is 9 times. And the word grace, did we look for that one, Miss Tabitha? I think we have. seven times, I think. I think we found that. The word tonight, and I want you to find it this week, and I'm not going to tell you how many times you find it, is the word justified. Justified. It's justified is not just as if I never sinned. Justified is to be declared righteous though I did sin. I'm declared righteous. And I'm no longer an enemy and a stranger and alien away from God and a foreigner, as the Bible says. I'm a son of God, a child of God, if you've been saved. Well, tonight we find ourselves, and the Apostle Paul, we've gone through chapter 1. Chapter 2, he is still trying to authenticate what's going on in his life. And he said fake doctrine has invaded the church. But verse 1 says, then 14 years... That's important. 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. One was a Jew, Titus was a Gentile. And that's one of the problems, because Peter in this chapter is going to be representing the Jews and going to the Jews, and Paul's going to the Gentiles. And he's going to say, hey, we both need salvation. It's all of Christ. And he said, I want to tell you, I'm not some wild-eyed, crazy man. It's been 14 years. Notice what he says in chapter 1 in verse? I have it right here. He said in verse number 18, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode 15 days. Paul's saying, though I started to preach right away, I didn't go to Bible college, and we covered that last few weeks. He said, instead, God began to school me. But this is not some wild-eyed guy, a loose cannon. I've spent time 3 years here, 14 years here, and I'm coming to you with the gospel now, with the good news. And so he said, I took Barnabas, and I went by, here's the key word, revelation. Now, you may want to draw an arrow. Wednesday night's Bible study time. You may want to draw an arrow or a line over to chapter 1, verse 12. Neither I received it by man. What's he talking about? The gospel, verse 11. I received the gospel, not after man. Neither I received it of man. Neither was I taught it by, I was taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He mentions it again. This has been revealed to me. I'm the guy that wreaked havoc, he said, against the church. Verse 23, I persecuted the church. Chapter 1, verse 23, I persecuted us in times past. They heard about me, and I preached now faith, which he destroyed. He said, I was going house to house, hailing men, hailing women, and then I got saved on the road to Damascus. He told us that. And now I have this theology, and it's not the Jewish custom of the law. It's grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. And he said, I want you to understand. I didn't get this from a Bible college. I didn't get this from a commentary. I got it from a revelation from God. That word revelation is a very powerful word. And it's the same word that we use in the book of Revelation. It means to reveal. To make something known. Make something known that perhaps still may be hidden. And grace came through Jesus Christ. The gospel came through Jesus Christ. You didn't have to have a priest, Hebrews tells us 8 and 9, standing daily, making sacrifice for my sin. But because we have Jesus Christ he went boldly to the throne of, and we can come now boldly to the throne of grace. In the Old Testament tabernacle, it was a building that was the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies was 15 by 15. The Holy of Holies, the priest would go there. First he'd confess his sin, then he'd confess the sins of the people. You don't know if the priest was in there sleeping or what he was, the high priest was sleeping, what he was doing. But that's why God designed the robe for the priest. He had a robe and they had the bells on the bottom of the robe. And still, maybe in your area, Brother Pastor White, the judges in many New England states still wear robes with bells on the bottom. I don't know if that's in your area. You're shaking your head, yes, so it must be true. But what was the purpose of the bells? Because the people of God, remember, all 12 tribes were around the tabernacle. That was in the middle. And there were three tribes, all these families, 600,000 Jews. And when that house of God moved, they moved with it. And that house of God had two quarters, the holy place and the holy of holies. And when the priest went in to offer a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people, it always had to be a blood sacrifice without blemish. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He is a lamb without blemish. He was wounded for our transgressions. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so the priest would be in there. Was he sleeping? Was he eating? Was he, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, but if there were sports, was he watching sports? No, when they heard the bells, they knew he was making atonement for their sin. Rudy Atwood, who played on the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, he played here many times. He's with the Lord. He'd play that song, "Don't You Hear the Bells Now Ringing?" I love that old song. And he'd play that song. Those bells meant there's active worship and confession of your sins. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, he is actively, the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing us from all sin. That's 1 John 1, 9. The word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's perpetual. That blood covers it. Calvary covers it all. And all my sin. And here, he's writing, he goes, I received this not from book learning, but revelation from God. It was hidden, and now grace is revealed. I've told you this before, but I grew up in Centerville over here, Fremont now. There were five little towns in 1956. We moved there in 53. And, pardon me, all five little towns, Centerville, Irvington, Mission San Jose, Niles, and Warm Springs, they all had 2,500 people. They all had a little old downtown, sort of like if you've ever been to Pleasanton, an old downtown, not that nice, but we all had our own little downtown. Centerville had a nice one. We had 2,500 people in our town. Oh, Brother Harder, you know this. September and October was very exciting for me because Central Chevrolet in town and on Fremont Boulevard, and it wasn't a boulevard there at the end of Thornton Avenue. And then just down the street was Turner Ford, and just down the street was Edgar Chrysler. And we didn't have Nissans, we didn't have any cars from any other country, and I'm not against those countries. You didn't see a Mercedes around here. I never saw a Jaguar living over there, but you only saw those three American cars, and the Chrysler had Plymouth and Chrysler products. The Fords didn't have Mercury's, though that was Mercury. The Chevy didn't have, our Chevy dealership did not carry Pontiac or Oldsmobile or Cadillac. I never saw a Cadillac till the 60s. But always in September, the Chevy dealer was the largest. It had two showrooms for two cars. And the Ford had one showroom for one car. My dad worked at the Chevy. My uncle worked at the Ford. And they'd bring the new cars in hidden. In 1956, my dad said, "Son, we're going to go." It was a Thursday night. "We're going to go look at the new cars tonight. They're coming out." And they had what we call soap the windows, like with a chalk. They would paint them. So you couldn't look inside for weeks, and they would, you'd look, "I wonder, the cars are in there. Oh, the car's there. Can't wait to see it." And cars then, every year they changed. Now you have a basic model. This is all Bible tonight. You have a basic model, and it stays about the same for about 10 years. Just change very few things about it, the taillights or something, a little bit of the grill. But then every year they changed. And of course, Fords were never classic. The 54 Ford truck was okay. But Chevy, I'll tell you, the 53, the 54, the 55, the 56, the 57, the dual headlights in 58, 59, the spaceship one, you know, those were ugly. 60 were beautiful. But they'd soap those windows, and then all three of those dealerships had a searchlight. And my dad said, son, let's go look. I remember walking in, the very first brand new car I saw was a 1956 Chevy, two-tone. That white and then that chartreuse color. Man, I fell in love with cars that day. You know what they were doing? They had something hidden, a new car. And that night when they opened up the doors, they revealed to us. It was a revelation. They revealed something to us that was hidden. And that's what Paul's saying here in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. This was revealed to me by God. God dealt with me. You say, well, is God doing that today? Oh, no, because we have the completed revelation of God, the Word of God. This book wasn't even all written yet. We still had the epistles to be written. Paul's writing this epistle. And he said, these things, verse number 2, I went up to by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately unto them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had been run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, he was a Gentile. Remember Titus' dad in the book of Acts, his mother was saved, his grandmother was saved, but his dad was lost. And he said, Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, two key words in verse 4, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty. Unawares is very important as he writes about this truth, because it's still hidden. What these folks are doing, these false, they hide. And verse number 4, privily, they sneak. People are sneaking into this church that Paul established, and they're sneaking in with new doctrine. Look, that's what he's saying here. He says, because false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily, secretly to spy out our, what's the word? Liberty. We have liberty in whom? Christ Jesus, chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty, the freedom where Christ hath made us free. We don't keep the law to get to salvation. Jesus fulfilled the law. And that's what Galatians he's talking about. And he said, to whom we gave space subjection. No, not for an hour. We didn't even want to talk to these guys. We weren't going to negotiate them for even 1 hour. Don't come in our church and start bringing heresy, sneaking in here. Oh, I love the Lord. And just start passing out your literature. We're not interested. They said, well, let's just sit down and talk. No, we're not going to talk. He said, I'm not going to even give you an hour. I'm not giving you any time. And because he was assured of what he believed that God gave to him by revelation. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. They didn't bring anything to the plate that would change my mind. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, he said, he went to the Greeks, the Jews, I went to the Gentiles. They saw that. For he's wrought effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, and the same was mighty toward the Gentiles. Now look at verse 9. And when James and Cephas is Peter, we know, and John, Peter, James, and John, seemed to be pillars. You know what the Wednesday night people are? You're pillars. I truly believe the pillars of the church gave us a window of grace in this election. I believe it was prayer. pastor that are here tonight. We every church I know been praying for this. We knew, and I'm not saying it's all going to be perfect, but I am saying it's renewed our desire that we have a responsibility. I don't have to go to Washington, D.C. and meet with the president. I don't have to go meet with my congressman. I have a job to do. And it's been an honor. I've been there 3 times with two different presidents. And that was an honor beyond compare. It was such an amazing moment being with George W. Bush and being with President Trump on 2 occasions. And not tens of thousands of people, just in a meeting, preachers. One had 80 people there, I think. The other had a big banquet. Not fundraising, just talking to preachers. You know, I'd go again, probably. It's an honor. I sat at a table with all senators and an ambassador, and the King of Abdul from Jordan sat right over here. The Supreme Court sat right over here. It was very, very, very moving. But I tell you, I thank God for politics, but my job's much higher than politics. Sometimes somebody jokingly say, "You ought to run for president, Pastor." I wouldn't have any idea what to do. I would not have any idea how to run the country. But I tell you what, I would never stoop to run for any office when I can be a representative of Jesus Christ. And Paul's trying to authenticate. We're almost out of time. We are out of time. Let's look where we're at here. He says, pillars of the faith. What verse was I in? Verse number 9. And when James and Peter, Cephas and John seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, they gave it to me and Barnabas that we, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. You go to the Gentiles and I'll go, you go to the Gentiles, I'll go to the Jews. But the Apostle Paul's going to have a little bit of difficulty with Peter. The Bible says, and that they would remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. Because the Bible said before, certain from James, they did eat with the Gentiles, and when they come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing they were of the uncircumcision. He said, Peter, you're eating together, and then you found out these were not Jews, and you got up and left the table. They are accepted in grace, Jew and Gentile. I pastor the most amazing church. Nationalities, by God's grace, by January, February, we're going to have 10 languages teaching Sunday school. I can hardly wait. All these languages are already teaching. We're going to add 2 more, and Brother Reamers is working. It's going to be wonderful. Trying to just get more gospel out. We have on the internet 130 languages where you could be saved. 35 of them are a person individually speaking to you from this church in that language how to be saved, and 100 of them are vocal, where you don't see a person but you hear the plan of salvation in Arabic, in French. All it's just an amazing thing. But Peter said, I'm not gonna eat with these Gentiles. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face. You know what's going to cause us to love one another, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, race, color, creed, you name it? Not some law passed in Washington, D.C. that we have to legislate to love one another, but a sweeping that God changes the heart of man, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. One of my deacons texted me early this morning. He said the next 4 years are very important for this church. And then he said this, perhaps God spared America for one last revival before the coming of Christ. I like that spirit. Get the Jews in. Get the Gentiles in. And I'm going to stop here in just a moment. Fearing verse number 13, and when the Jews dissembled likewise, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, but I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not after the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live to do with the Jews? He said, you're trying to make the Gentiles like the Jews, but that's not what the gospel's about. The gospel is not putting a tie on a man or putting some attire on a lady and say, okay, now you meet the conditions because you're dressing this way and acting this way and now everything's okay. You can be part of us. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the good news that whosoever will may come. This is, I hope, not boring tonight, but it's still just a little bit more of foundation before we really get to the heart of the book of Galatians. He's going to start dealing with this law in verse 15 and 16. Next week, by God's grace, my brother-in-law is going to be here, Brother Dave Smith, and he's taught in our college for years, and he's in Florida, and he'll be passing through, and my twin sister. And then the next Wednesday, I'm in this passage, and the next Wednesday, was Tuesday, we're at Thanksgiving. This is so important tonight. I hope it wasn't boring to you, that you get the foundation that God's breaking down the wall of Jew and Gentile right here. And we're one in Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.